And a good Saturday morning to you. Time once again for CCU's Car Care Show. Denny Long here along with ASE's certified technician and a guy who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul on beautiful Grand Avenue. Good morning to you, Nick Stoffel.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things? Do you have a good week, you and your crew there at Lloyd's?
Hey, we had a great week. It was busy. Everybody was here. We kind of went through the spring break, people taking vacation mode here in the last couple of weeks here, but we're back and running at 100% and ready to fix your car.
Well, I was looking and listening to Al's forecast. It sounds like winter has not let its grip go. Looking at this week's forecast, I think daytime highs are probably maybe 41, 42, roughly. And so winter's still here for the most part. Not bad. And maybe a little snow, maybe a little rain, a little sleet. So, you know, people are still, I mean, snow tires, are they still on cars, do you think?
They are. Typically when people call, because we've had a few of those calls, usually I'd say the end of March, beginning of April, because as you know, you said 40s, you know, so if any snow does fall and accumulate, it's going to be gone pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, a peace of mind, running another couple weeks here isn't going to hurt the tires. Really, the biggest thing with those winter tires with that soft rubber compound is temperature. So even though the roads aren't snow covered, the roads are still very, very cold. So you don't have to worry about ruining them or wearing them out in a matter of a couple weeks here. So I think as far as a peace of mind goes, I'd go another couple weeks, get into early April. And at that point, you know, things start to get into 50s and 60s, and if anything falls out of the sky, hopefully it's just rain.
Yeah, hopefully. We all hope that, for sure. April showers. If you have any kind of a car care question, don't wait. We always seem to run out of time, and we want to help as many folks as we can. So if you need to bring your vehicle in for service to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, and you want to know kind of what's going on with that, what's ailing, obviously, more information, the better. So call Nick or text Nick. It's the same number. And that number is 651-461-9226. And the reason I said do it now, Nick is going to be with us for about another half hour or so, maybe a little more, before Jack Farrell steps in with his wine chat. So call or text any kind of a car care question you may have. You don't have to be any gearhead, any motorhead. Although we do have, as you know, Nick, we do have a lot of folks who do work on their own vehicles, and current and past mechanics as well. So
it is interesting for sure.
Yeah. All right. Again, here's the number, phone or text, 651-461-9226. We had some texts from last week we promised we'd get on. And here's one you get, I'm sure, all the time, and we do too here on the show. Is my battery is 5 years old. Is it time to replace it? That's kind of a good rule of thumb, isn't it, 5 years?
You know, in our climate and with the electronics and vehicles now, that's kind of the point where you make a suggestion. You know, the battery is starting to age. It probably has a little life left in it, but if you're having expectations of going somewhere or going to have it sitting for a period of time, you might want to consider replacing it. So we tell people right now, if they're still testing, fine, we're getting out of that cold season, but you'll definitely want to replace it come fall. And like I said, if you're planning on being gone for a period of time, you might want to replace that battery before you get back and have a dead car.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when my son was driving, a hand-me-down that you guys have seen many times over the years. And I thought, gee, I know we replaced the battery. I don't remember. Was it like 4 or 5 years ago? So I asked your colleague Jimmy there. I said, when do you guys keep record of this one? 8 years ago. So I lucked out on that one. But don't gamble.
Explorer.
Yes, exactly. I think I'm hearing it's still running around the area, southern Minnesota somewhere. So
that's awesome. It was a good car for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you know, you guys took good care of it. And like we say, not to preach, but, I mean, if you do your regular maintenance, it'll take care of you too, right? I mean, just keep up to that, you know?
Absolutely.
It's not rocket science. All right. Here is our phone number and also our text number. Don't wait, 651-461-9226. All right. Let's see. This just came in, and then we'll get back to some other ones. In order to conserve fuel, 9226. All right. Let's see. This just came in, and then we'll get back to some other ones. In order to conserve fuel, texter says, I put my vehicle in neutral on the downslope of hills, and as I approach stop signs or stoplights, is it harmful to a vehicle to do this? First of all, do you want to do that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any kind of benefit. I understand you feel like that the RPMs drop a little quicker. That may be true, but I would think more with scenarios where if you're going down a hill or you come to a stop sign and you need to maneuver, get out of the way of something, now you're in neutral. So I think as far as the savings, I don't think you could really measure that, and it puts you in a tough spot in the event that you got to get out of somebody's way, because now you have to quickly react, put it back into gear, you know, not go into the wrong gear and get out of the way. So, I don't think it's necessary. I don't think you're hurting anything, but I don't think there's much of a gain there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's grab a phone call before we take a quick break here. Becky, I believe, is calling in this morning from Maple Grove. Let's see if we can't get there. Good morning, Becky. What's your question for Nick this morning?
Hi, I have a 2007 Toyota Prius that we've owned since new, and it has about 175,000 miles on it. I had the 12-volt battery replaced about a year and a half ago. And then I had several instances where it wouldn't start and it had to be jumped. And when I went back the second time with the same instance, they told me that, yeah, they would replace the battery, although it had tested out that it was in good condition. So that was last summer, I think in August. So I have a new 12-volt battery last summer in August. And this winter, it wouldn't start when I was leaving work one night, and yeah, this was like at 10 o'clock at night. I had to call a tow truck and have the car started. And now yesterday I was out running errands, and it happened again. I drove, you know, from store to store a couple of times, and when I came out the last time to go home so I could go to work in an hour, the car wouldn't start. So the battery, something is weird with the charging system or something. I just don't know. Yeah, I would assume the battery was installed by the dealer, and I would assume that they test for stuff like that when they're testing batteries. But I'm wondering if you have any ideas what might be going on with this car.
You know, that's one of those difficult situations, and unfortunate and frustrating for you, I'm sure. We run into that too from time to time where, there's an electrical gremlin, we'll say, and you got to go back to the basics. That's the only thing you can do. You know, you check your connections, you check your voltage drops, you check for a drain on the system, which would be something to be deteriorating the vehicle as it's, or deteriorating the battery as it sits, because you don't want the battery being worn down. Now, there is a little bit of keep alive memory stuff that pulls power out of the battery as it sits, but that should be fairly minimal. So I would assume if connections are good and the alternator or the vehicle is being charged properly and that there's no sort of drain on it, that there's something intermittently within that vehicle that's powering up. And that's what the difficult part is, because you can bring it into our shop or the dealer, whoever. If you put a meter on that vehicle, you're not going to find the source of the problem. Now, they've done the battery, they've warranted the battery, so I feel pretty good saying that the battery's probably fine. But unfortunately, at some point, someone's going to have to take the time and try to just stick with it. Now, the best thing you can do to help somebody is get yourself a notepad, try to write down a series of sequences, or on a particular day, the weather, your drive cycle, how long the car's been sitting, any little clue, using the headlights, the heat, any of that stuff might give somebody a clue of an area of the vehicle to look at. But unfortunately, until that, whatever's happening with that electrical system occurs when it's at the shop or the dealer, it's going to be very difficult to prove and frustrating for you. And it's, we run into the two, and it's really, obviously this listener here is very in tune with her vehicle. She's doing all of her legwork and all of her homework, but if she can document that, hopefully that gives somebody a clue to get to the bottom of it for her.
More detective work, but like you said, really frustrating, especially when you have to get to work. Come on.
Yeah, 10 o'clock at night, and it's winter, and all that. Yeah. All that's so frustrating and unfortunate.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, Becky. I'd like to hear if you find an answer for that. Give us a call back, and I hope you do soon. I tell you what, those, Jane and everybody else on the line, we're going to get your phone calls and questions answered as we when we come back after the break. 651-461-9226, ASC Certified Technician. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul is helping you out this morning on News Talk 830 WCCO. 21 degrees now here in the Twin Cities. Not a warm day. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. This is the 26th of March, and usual time of day, we're doing a show called The Car Care Show here on 830 WCCO. Denny Long, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And Nick, for those that need your help there, you and your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you? How do we get a hold of you or just to check you out?
Well, if you're ever in St. Paul along Grand Avenue, we're at 982 Grand Avenue, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. If you ever give us a call, we're at 651-228-1316. And if you're on your device or at your computer there, we're at LloydsAutomotive.net, and that's LLOYDS, Automotive.net.
Very good, and we're going to get you that number. Nick will take his leave here in about 15 minutes. So if you have a car care question, by all means, get it to us either by phone if you want to chat with Nick, ask your question on the phone, or just send a text. Same number for either, 651-461-9226. As I said, Nick will be with us for about another 15 minutes or so. So don't wait, and then we'll get you that information, that phone number, if you need the help with he and his crew there at Lloyd's. All right. Let's see who has been waiting. Mohammed is calling in from St. Paul, I believe, this morning to ask a question. Good morning. What is your question for Nick?
I have 2000 Honda CRV. I tore it to the mechanic, and the mechanic said it needs, you know, drive shaft. Where do I get it? After the market, it is expensive, and out of the state, and it costs extra. It costs that is, you know, $800.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably true. Those drive shafts, if I remember correctly, have a support section or support bearing midway through the shaft, so it's like a two-piece shaft. And I believe what happens is that the bushing that holds that drive shaft square under the vehicle goes bad, so it can create it to, you know, be out of balance or out of round. So unfortunately, there's not an alternative to the fix. You can try to find a used one, but keep in mind that's a little bit concerning potentially, because when they remove them, you need to be very carefully not to damage that joint. So you can try to find a used one, which would be less money, but not as maybe the same quality. A new one from the manufacturer is probably very expensive. But if you look online, there are places in town you might be able to find an aftermarket one. And, you know, you mentioned $800, they really could cost that much, which is very expensive, but it's a very critical and important piece of the vehicle, too. So my recommendation would be to, you know, you can look for a used one. Keep in mind that might not completely fix the problem, or not for an extended period of time, but the best bet's probably to get that aftermarket one. And maybe you'll get it out of town.
Yeah. All right, good luck with that, Mohammed. Thank you for the call. I tell you what, let's do. Let's have a look at that forecast, see what's in store here for this coming week. And then we're going to pick up on some text messages for Nick. So stand by. 651-461-9226, your call or your text to Nick for your car care question. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Stay with us. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have some listeners' text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave here in a few minutes. Here's one. It's a 2009 Honda CR-V. In December, texter says, the low tire pressure light went on, so I topped off the tires thinking it was due to outdoor temperature change. Then it went on again the end of January. I checked the tires. They were okay. Light went off in a day. Then the TPMS light went on and went off in about an hour. Then last weekend, the light went on again. Tire pressure was okay. light went off again in about a half hour. Then about a week ago, the tire pressure light went on and off within a half hour. But the vehicle stability light went on and then off again after I turned the car off. What's going on with my tires, do you think?
That's a good question. I would, if it has a full-size spare, number one, check that, because a lot of times there's a pressure sensor there. And if you're dealing with temperature changes and the tire's off like a pound of pressure and the and it warms up and it just adjusts that pressure, just one PSI might be enough to turn that light on or off. So I would say check all four tires, check the spare tire, maybe go just a couple pounds of pressure higher, because if you're very close to that threshold and it's flip-flopping on you like that, it could be something as simple as that. Typically, if we see a bad sensor, however, the light will be flashing repetitively. So I don't think that there's a fault within one of the sensors not operating properly, because, like I said, normally it'd be flashing. I really think that the pressures and possibly the spare tire are off just enough when you hit that threshold that the light will come on, and then it, you know, checks it again, and it's up one PSI, and it's just kind of flirting back and forth. It would not be related to that traction control light. Different system for sure. If that came on as a one-time fault, maybe it was a couple weeks ago and we had some snow, or there's the, you know, with the roads as dirty as they are, maybe the tires had slipped or something. And if that hasn't been back again, I would disregard that as a one-time scenario. So I would disregard the traction. I would adjust the tires just a couple pressure or pounds of pressure higher and see what happens.
Yeah, and you've brought up that point from time to time. We, for those that still have a full-size or have a spare tire, yeah, we found that some folks that, yeah, that was it. It was the spare tire had a sensor, and it was low. Now, these sensors, correct me if I'm wrong, they were like battery-operated, right?
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, they have a life expectancy, too. So, you know, you get that 10, 12-year-old vehicle, and then we start seeing some issues, but typically the light would be flashing because it's not seeing that sensor. So if it's on for a half hour, an hour, and then off, I really think that the pressures are adjusting just enough to make that light come on.
Yeah, interesting. All right, here's an interesting text, and I'll just go with it. I live in a community of cottages that is built on marshland that was filled in with rock, plenty of moisture, and surrounding ponds. Every spring, my garage floods as the snow melts. My question is this bad for my car in any way to stand within this enclosed garage with all of this moisture? That is a good question.
Humidity is hard on everything, obviously. So, yeah, I think the excessive moisture would be concerning. I don't know. Things that you can do. You can squeegee the floor. You can run a fan in there. Obviously, you don't want to leave the door wide open when you're not observing or monitoring the garage, you know, somebody getting in there. But if it's possible to somehow air it out, squeegee it out, try to keep the moisture down to a minimum. If it's really humid in there, maybe, you know, if it's okay to park the vehicle outside. You know, I can't say for sure. I've not been in the situation, but I would think the excessive moisture would not be good for connections for sure. You worry about corrosion and
yeah,
that type of
stuff. Absolutely. A little speedier rusting.
Yes.
Process there. Wow. A related moisture question. Well, I think the texter is anyway talking about a brake job they had done recently. Now their brakes squeak, but basically more if they haven't driven it for a day, or let me read this, or if it's wet, if it rains, snow, and the vehicle is within some moisture situation, the brakes seem to squeak just for a while, and then it goes away. What can happen? What can be the problem there?
Well, you know, a couple things. Is it the contact between the pad and the rotor, the quality or type of pad material, the same with the rotor? If a vehicle sits, you get a little bit of corrosion. I'd be careful to use the word rust because, you know, rust, I think, feels more permanent. But you get a little corrosion on the surface of the rotor, and it takes a few rotations for that to clean up. Also, if the pads, mating surfaces where it connects to the caliper were cleaned really well and lubricated really well also. So it'd be fair to go back to the folks that did the brake job and say, you know, the first couple times in the morning I get a little bit of squeaking. Can you take a look? Maybe it needs a little lubrication. It might be as simple as that. Maybe a pad's defective. The makeup of the pad has a little bit of too metallic, so you get a little too much noise there. But If you paid good money for a brake job, I would think it'd be fair not to have it make noise.
Yeah, that makes sense. Nick, we have to run. If folks need some help there at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you guys there?
Once again, if you're in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. If you need to give us a call at some point in time for some advice, 651-228-1316. And if you're online there, it's lloydsautomotive.net. That's with two L's, LLOYDSAutomotive.net.
Very good. Nick, as usual, thank you very much for all your assistance. And let's have another show next week. I think that would be a good idea.
I'm on.
All right, good deal. Thanks, Nick. Nick Stoffel, he runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. We'll have another CCO Car Care show next week. Stay tuned next for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat here on News Talk 830 WCCO, where it's 21 degrees, going for near 34.